Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans, chapter 16. We'll read verses 5 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Romans, chapter 16, verses 5 through 9. Romans chapter 16, verses 5 through 9. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelias, my beloved in the Lord. And let's finish on verse 9 together. Ready? Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May we receive from him what he has gotten from you, so we could take it to a lost and dying world, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Again, this evening's sermon will be quite simple, quite practical, very, very easy for us to understand, and I think easy for us to live if we're willing to do it. Earlier, we read a passage of Scripture from which we will take the sermon. Romans chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ." It says, salute Urbane, salute him. Now, it is the Apostle Paul that makes this statement. Most of you have never heard of Urbane. You've read your New Testament through many, many times. And if not, you've read 1 Corinthians through many times. And you've heard the name Urbane over and over and over again, though it meant nothing to you and it was lost somewhere in what you were reading. May I say tonight, I think all of us ought to be like him. All of us ought to be like him. I call the sermon, Be an Urbane. Be an Urbane. The word urbane means a refined one, but I want you to notice that it says here, salute Urbane, our helper. Our helper. Why is the great Apostle Paul saying, salute Urbane? He says because he's a helper. Now, some of you were in the military, and when you saluted, what you were doing was you were showing respect. Matter of fact, when you would salute, I think, Brother Nash, you might be able to help me with this. If somebody of lesser rank walked by you, they were to salute the higher rank. Is that true? Okay. If that be the case, if we're to salute Urbane, somehow the Apostle Paul was saying, here's a man that has some rank. You say, must have had a lot of money. No, he was a helper. Must have had a high IQ. No, he was a helper. Say, well, he must have had clout and influence and oratory refinement. He was a good speaker. No. He was a helper. And Paul said, we ought to salute him. We ought to tip our hat at Urbane. You say, I've never even heard of Urbane. Oh, isn't the Bible wonderful? Isn't it fantastic what's tucked away in the Bible? Here we find a man by the name of Urbane. You don't know him. I don't know him. And though Paul said, you ought to be saluting Urbane. Who's Urbane? Isn't that the way it so often is? The helper's not known. I'm glad Paul noticed the helper. Maybe that's what made Paul great. Jesus, he recognizes the helper. And I think we all ought to attempt to be Urbanes. You know, the ministry, folks, is all about helping people. That's what it's all about. You and I, we're to be like God. God is the great people helper. Mark chapter 9, verse 24, it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. There's our God, the helper. In Acts chapter 16, verse number 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. There's that word. help. There's our God, the great helper. In Psalm chapter 121, verse number 2, it says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. There he is. There's our God, the helper again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Our God is a God that helps us. And we're to be like God. And Paul came along and said, there are some that are like God. Urbane. You say, who is Urbane? God said he's somebody, the Apostle Paul, who probably penned 13 books of the New Testament. I think the finest Christian in the New Testament. I think Paul was even saying, I salute Urbane. Why? Urbane helped people. He was a helper. Let's not get mixed up, folks. The ministry is not all about a fancy looking bus fleet. It's about the people that are brought in on those buses. This ministry is not all about a full, impressive choir, but it's all about the people that are in that choir. The ministry and our ministry is not all about this beautiful auditorium. You know, we've had over a thousand people. I think we put 1,200 people in here one time, and that's fantastic. But I've got news for you. It's not all about a big, impressive auditorium that can seat over 1,000 people. It's all about the people in that auditorium. Just so you understand my thinking, you say, well, you build a building, you build it square. What are you doing? I believe that this is a people factory. You ever notice that factories are square? Why? Square footage. I'm looking for people space. You come to any meetings with me, and you come to Sunday school department meetings, and you come to planning meetings. I'm always saying, don't be putting a bunch of things on the floor where people could sit. We got to have room for people, people, people. That's what it's all about. People. We're trying to reach people. You know, you take a Christian school. This church is not all about having a high enrollment in the Christian school. It's all about the students that are enrolled in the school. Old Paths Baptist College is not all about, I'm not trying to build the biggest Bible college in the nation so we can have bragging rights. No, I'm trying to help the people that are in that school. A strong offering is a wonderful thing, but the church is not all about just a strong offering. It's all about the people who've given that offering. It's all about the people that we will help with that offering. Attendance numbers are not so that we can walk around and tell everybody, guess what? We just had 1,000 in Sunday school. No, it's about the individual that was here that was a part of that attendance. That's what it's all about. Helping people. Everybody here is called to help people. You don't have to be real bright, and you don't have to be around Christianity much to know that the theme of the Christian life is helping and loving people. Helping people is what God wants you to do. You've been called. You say, I don't have the good gifts of helping people. No, what you don't have is the character and the love to help people. That's the problem. Everybody can help people. You know, growing up, we teach our children to be daddy's little helper. You know what we ought to want? We ought to want to be our Abba Father. We ought to want to be our daddy's little helper. Somebody here tonight, you need to grow in the Lord. You say, in what way? You are very much a receiver of help. And some of you need to learn to be a giver of help. You say, I like getting help from people. And I think people probably like helping you. But there needs to come a day when you're not looking to get help, but you're looking to receive help. Every student, I think there's over 20 students in Old Paths Baptist College. Of course, all those are just from right here at our church right now until we open the dormitories. But everybody, every student at Old Paths Baptist College, you listen to me. We are not building a Bible college to teach you to be a bunch of fat cat professional preachers that have, or people in the ministry that have chosen it as an occupational choice, as a way to earn money and get you some rank in a career. No, it is a calling of God. It is a privilege and opportunity. And it's not all about you being served. It's all about you serving people. I want every graduate of Old Paths Baptist College to spread themselves across this world, not trying to get something out of people, but to put something into people. I want them to spread themselves across this world, working in New Testament churches and on mission fields. And I want them to go out and not use people, but to be used by people. You say, what? Yes. Yes, I want us to serve people. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You stay with me. I don't think I'll take long. I do want to talk to all of us about being an urbane. You see, may I say, first of all, you must stay strong so you can help others. If you're going to be an urbane, you have to keep you strong. Job chapter 6, verse 13, it says, is not my help in me? Is not my help in me? The Holy Spirit of God was in him. In you is a drive. In you is a character. And folks, I must say to you, you need to keep you strong enough so that you can be used of God to help everybody else. I go to the airport. When I get to the airport, they give a little speech right before we take off. They say, if you are a parent and you are flying with a small child, if there is suddenly an emergency, the oxygen mask will fall from the ceiling. And they always say this: the parent should put the oxygen mask on themselves first, then help the little child. You say, why? The airport is smart enough to know that the parent has to stay strong enough, alert and conscious in an emergency so that they can then turn and help the child. That's why the airport says you take care of you just long enough to be strong enough to then turn and attend to your child. Does that make sense to you? And let me say to everybody here, you have to keep you strong enough that you can be an urbane. You have to stay strong enough that you can serve other people. Now, let me tell you something. Don't you get so busy helping people that you stop reading your Bible. Don't you get so busy helping others that you have not helped yourself enough that you're strong. Read your Bible. If you are so busy doing things for, I'm talking about moms. Some of you moms, you're so busy serving at home, you don't read your Bible. You're so busy serving at home, you don't pray. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to crash and burn spiritually, and you're not going to be much help to anybody. If you're so busy doing so many things that you don't have time to keep yourself strong by reading your Bible and praying, you're going to have a problem. Others need you to help you. Can I tell y'all something? Your pastor has to keep himself strong enough to be there when you need him. I have to keep me in the Word of God. Why? I've got a bunch of people to feed. I must keep myself in a constant attitude of prayer. And I've got to keep myself pure. And I've got to do those things. Why? God told me that I needed to do that for you. So I have to keep me strong enough that I can help you, and you need to keep you strong enough that you can help me. And if we're going to be urbanes, we've got to be strong enough to help each other. Let me say number two. We need to help the ones others think are unattractive. Be an urbane. Be a helper. We need to help the ones that others think are unattractive. In Job chapter 29, verse number 12, it says, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. You know, I got to thinking about the, and we see that word help there. There's the word help again. I think of the maniac of Gadara. I thank God for Jesus. Do you know that when Jesus went into the city of the Gadarenes, nobody wanted anything to do with the maniac of Gadara. Nobody did. Wild, nasty, dirty. He smelled. He stank. I mean, his fingernails were yellowed and curled and his hair was matted and he was a bloody mess and he was howling like an animal and living in the graveyard. But Jesus helped him. Jesus helped him. Oh, the story of the maniac of Gadara is told over and over again. And we all love it. Jesus was not just trying to show off that Jesus was a helper. He was trying to set an example for New Testament Christians. We ought to help the ones that are unattractive to everybody else. There's some of you, you'll watch somebody maybe that's not been taught as well as you. Didn't have as much money as you. They're not as clean as you. You'll watch somebody like that stumble in from one of the buses. You almost turn your nose up. You avoid them. They go to shake your hand and you don't want to shake their hand. What's wrong with you? We ought to be helping those that tend to be unattractive. Hey, look folks, if the old fashioned New Testament Baptist church doesn't help them, pray tell me who's going to. All the elitist type churches out there that have their nose in the sky that wouldn't run a bus across the church if Jesus Christ himself needed a ride in. Let me tell you something. We better love the unattractive and help the unattractive. What makes you think you're so attractive? We've got to help ourselves if we're going to help others. But secondly, we are to help the unattractive. That is, if we're going to be like Urbane. And Paul said, salute Urbane. Why? He was a helper. He helped people. We need to help the dirty. We need to help the down. We need to help. We need to help even what you might call ugly. The unattractive. Help them. Somebody's got to help them. They're just as important to Jesus as you are. Thirdly, may I say, we ought to help the lost. I won't stay here long, but you've just got a pastor that's interested in keeping people out of hell. I can't help it. You say it's in every one of your outlines. I know it. I know it. And thank God, because we have people saved almost every church service, we got to keep people out of hell. Be an Urbane. Acts chapter 16, verse 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. What's happening here? Somebody that's lost said, please, somebody, come help us. Folks, we got to keep on helping the lost. You need to help the lost. I need to help the lost. And this is not the responsibility of the preacher or the staff. Soul winning is the responsibility of every born again Christian. There's somebody you need to win to Jesus Christ. Now go find him and win him. You say, who is it? I don't know. So win them all. Let me say number four. We need to be willing to help the new converts. That is if you want to be an Urbane. That is, if you would like the greatest Christian in the New Testament to salute you for being a helper. Acts chapter 18, verse 27, it says, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. You know what it's talking about? There's some people that had gotten saved, and somebody helped these new converts. Now, I've got to tell you all something. We need to help the newly saved people. We need to help them to understand what it means to walk the aisle and make public their salvation. We help them with that. We then help them to understand baptism. We then help them to understand the importance of church. Hey, we need to help them feel welcome here at our church. Thank God, I think we have probably the friendliest church on the face of the earth, but let's not let anybody fall through the cracks. If somebody is a visitor here, we ought never raise our eyebrow looking at them like a calf at a new gate. They are not intruders. They're somebody that God loves, and they're just as important to our church as you are. And when you see somebody new, they ought to be overwhelmed with the friendliness here. Hey, we're helping them. We're helping the new convert. You help them. You encourage them. Hey, you ladies, you invite them to the ladies' fellowships. The new teenager. Hey, teenager, you invite the new teenager to come over to Young Fundamentalists. Hey, children, you invite the new child in the church to King's Kids. Hey, we invite them to come on Thursday night soul winning. We invite them to come to the Super Bowl, the feast, if you will. That's all I can think of right now. You help them to make feel like they're a part. We help them to come back and be a part of the missions conference. We help the new convert. And may I say also, did you know that a brand new convert just got saved? I am for standards. I am for convictions. Nobody questions that, but I'll tell you something. You got to let them grow in the Lord. Some of you are on them like stink on a skunk and you think they all ought to get cleaned up overnight. I've got news for you. It's taken God an awful long time to clean you up. And if you'd like to come by my office, I can tell you some more things about you that should have been cleaned up a long time ago. Give the new convert a chance to grow. Give him a chance to grow. You say, well, look at that. Look at what he's doing. Look at what she's doing. I've got news for you. They just got saved. They need to get into their Bible and pray and learn about Jesus. Believe me, if we'll have the right attitude toward them, they'll grow. They'll grow. Help the new convert. Why? We want to be an urbane. Number five, I believe that urbane helped the fallen. He helped the fallen. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Folks, let's be a church of a second chance. Let's be the kind of church where the backslidden that leave the church can come back. That means this. When you see somebody that's been out of church for a while and they've been backslidden, or maybe they've been out living in a way that they shouldn't, when you see them, you greet them and you treat them normally. When you see them come down the hallway and the hallway's full of people, you don't say, "What? Look at that! Look what the dog drug in! Look at long time no see. You haven't been to church in years." Well, you just really help them. That's why they did not want to see you. They need to be treated with love and kindness. And listen, when they come back backslidden, they might not look like they did when they went out. What do? We accept them. We get them back on board. We teach them. We love them. We help regrow them. Be an urbane. Let's help. Let's help the lost. Let's help the new convert. Hey, help yourself so you can help others. Help the unattractive. Help the fallen. Let's help the hurting. I believe urbane helped the hurting. Those that hurt. The Bible says in Mark 9:22, and oft times it hath cast himself into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, people need help. There are people that are hurting. Now, I am one that believes very much so in character and integrity and hard work. But I can tell you something, folks. There are some people in our church that are hurting, and they're very sincere people. And they have character. Did you know that you cannot avoid all financial catastrophe in life? You say, well, if you tithe and if you give to the Lord, you'll never have a financial problem. That is not true. There are people in our midst that are struggling financially, and they have tithed and they have given offerings, and they're soul winners and they love God. And God, for some reason, they've been allowed to go through a tough time. We ought to help the hurting. We ought to help the hurting. There are people here that have burdens. There are people here that have heartaches. There are people that have gone through some very difficult times. What should we do? Help the hurting. Be an urbane. Help those that hurt. Help them, care about them, love them, be kind to them. May I say number seven, to be an urbane, we ought to help the sick. We ought to help the sick. Matthew chapter 25, verse 36, it says, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Here Jesus was saying, when you do these things unto the least of these, you're doing it unto me. When people are sick, we need to help them. We need to help them. Let's pray for the sick. Those of you that are judgmental and you say, well, they wouldn't be sick if they were right with God. I'm very sad to tell you this, that all sickness is not judgment from God. Those of you that pass that kind of judgment, it might be that your sickness is caused by that, but everybody else's isn't. I can't tell you when somebody is sick that has been caused by God or whatever. I'm not God. I can't make that determination. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for them all. Well, they wouldn't be in that fix if they would have lived a little better. You're right. But even self-inflicted sickness is still sickness, and people are hurting. And they're hurting. So we need to pray for them, and we need to try to help them and be a blessing to them. Somebody's sick. I'll tell you this. I think there ought to be some people that step up and help a Damian Segura. Some of you, all you have to do is search your heart and think about what he's done for you before. Just think about it. Think about some of the people around here that have served, and now they're the one that's facing the tough time. What do we do? Help the sick. Help the sick. But not only that, I think we ought to help the grieving. Help the grieving. Job 29:25 says it speaks of one that comforteth the mourners. Speaking of helping the mourners. If you want to be an urbane, we help the grieving. Hey, don't forget about those who have lost loved ones. Don't forget about them. You hear me say this, and I say it probably more often in the men's prayer meeting. It's awful easy for us to run to the aid of someone who has lost a loved one, and we do it for 2 or 3 weeks. And about a month later, we've forgotten about them completely, but they still have an empty spot at the table when they go to their meal, and they're still hurting and they're still grieving. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget it. Let's remember those that hurt and those who have lost loved ones. I now believe I've been the pastor of this church for about 9.5 years, maybe a little more than that. Do you realize that our church in almost 10 years, we've done almost 100 funerals. Don't you think there are people around here that are still hurting? Why, sure. Hey, but and folks, I'm not asking that our services be morbid. We're not like that. We believe in heaven and we thank God for heaven. I'm just saying, let's all be helpers. Let's help those that are still hurting, and let's remember them, and let's pray for them, and let's encourage them. And every once in a while, in an appropriate way, be an encouragement to them. Hey, let's show above average character those that are mourning. A year later, let's still remember them. And 2 years later, let's still remember them. And 3 years later, let's still remember them, because they love the one that is in heaven as much as they ever did. And if you want to be an urbane, you're going to have to help the mourning, the grieving. Not only that, I think we ought to try to help those that God has given us as leaders. That is, if you want to be an urbane. Romans chapter 16, verse number 3, it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." See, Aquila and Priscilla were helpers to the Apostle Paul. They were helpers to him. And I think all of us ought to want to step up and help our leaders. I think that we ought to want to help one another. Did you know that really, I believe that you say, well, that person right there has been chosen as a leader. They're special. I think everybody's special. Whether you're leading, whether you're leading the group or you're a part of the group, everybody's special. Everybody has a place. And I think we what we ought to do is we ought to humbly try to help our leaders. Those of you that are workers on the bus route, be a helper to your bus captain. Those of you that attend Sunday school classes, be a helper to that teacher in your class. Those of you that are in the choir, be a helper to Brother Nash. And those of you that are a part of the youth ministry, be a helper to Brother Marsh. And be a helper to Brother Ellswick. And those of you that are a part of this church, let's all be helpers. Let's not get arrogant. Let's not get too big for our own spiritual britches. I'm saying that to the men. Let's not get so to the point to where we are so arrogant and we are so full of ourselves that we won't help. What job is too big for you? Or what job are you too big for, maybe is the way I ought to say it. We ought to be helpers. Help the leadership. Paul said, I want to point out Priscilla and Aquila, they have helped me. Paul was a great leader in the New Testament. Let me say to the followers, I want you to be helped. I want you to be helped. Leaders, help the follower. Serve the follower. Serve them. Philippians 4:3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel." Here there were some ladies that were helping. And someone is reminded, you help those that help you. Leaders, don't ever get this idea you're supposed to use people. Oh, no. We're to serve people. It's not our intent to use the people of this church to build this church. Our intent is to use this church to build the people of this church. That's the intent. That's the plan. Oh, be careful. Be careful. I think I know what it was. Mrs. Owens and I were out with Carmen Davis and her children. And we had Brother Davis's home going service last week. And when we did, as always, I asked the staff men after a home going service and after the graveside service, I say, meet me up in the Persian room. We're going to have a meal, and we're going to have a meal for all the family of the one who's going to heaven. And we have all the family come in and sit down, and the staff serves them. We find out what they want to drink. We go get it and we take it to them. We find out what they want to eat. We go get it and we take it to them. We get them another napkin and we make sure that their cup of tea is not half full, but all the way full. If somebody says, I want some more macaroni and cheese, we get it. And somebody says, you got any chocolate milk? If we don't have it, we try to dig it up. We clear the table. We give them their dessert. A pastor from another church had come and said, I've never seen anything like that before. I've never seen the pastoral staff doing all the serving at something like that. Don't you ever forget it. We're to serve each other. Nobody's too big. Nobody's too important. Nobody has a membership term in this place that you are so special that you're too good to serve everybody else. Somebody in here needs to set down your solid gold cross pin and go over and work in a children's church and get your hands dirty for a little while and serve somebody. I don't care how fancy your car is or how much your purse costs. We're in a competition of purses today. Somebody needs to empty that purse out and let some bus kid put his dirty crayons in it. Serve. Let's help. Let's help one another. The followers help the leaders and the leaders help the followers. Hey, let's help those who are weak in faith. Mark 9:24 says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Hey, folks, let's help people with their faith. Let's help people with their faith. Don't discourage people. Help them with their faith. When they say, I don't know if I can, you need to say with you and God, you can. You can. You can do this. When someone has and we're going to deal with new converts around here and they're going to say, I've got an addiction and I don't know if I can do this. Yes, you can. You need to remind them that God helped you with it. And when they're learning to tithe and say, I don't know if I can do this. You need to remind them, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I remember when I didn't know if I could tithe. Someone says, I don't know if I could win someone to Christ. If I could have the courage to tell them about Jesus. You tell them, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I don't know if I could come to church in the evening like that. I'm just not used to it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm not sure I could separate from my old friends. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Look, folks, if I can, you can. You can. We're to help one another's faith. I do not want people to get around me and have less faith. I want them to get around me and say, boy, he's convinced me I can do this. I can make it. I can take it. You can. But what, be an Urbane. Bible says that somebody needed help with what? Their disbelief. We all need help from time to time with our belief. Let me say finally, and I'm done, let's help the poor. Let's help the poor. Be an urbane. Acts 9:36, it says, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which was interpretation is called Dorcas. Not Dorky, Brother Nash, Dorcas. Which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Alms deeds. What's that? She was known for helping the poor. Helping the poor. I know this might be hard for you to believe, but the poorest person tonight, under the sound of my voice, would be the richest person in some country somewhere. We throw away more food in America than some get to eat. Let's help the poor. Let's be helpers. I know, Brother McLean, you influence the young people over in the King's Kids program. I'm just sure I've heard him say, be a helper, be a helper. We tell our boys and girls, be a helper, be daddy's helper. Oh, my folks, should not we all decide that we will be our daddy's helper. Who have you helped recently, other than yourself? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Somebody in here needs a little revival in this area. You're not helping any. You used to help people. Oh, but you don't much anymore. Are you a helper? Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, simple sermon, but God has spoken to my heart. There's some areas where I need to improve. I need to be a helper." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. There's some areas I just need to improve." You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you're not saved, come. If you've been saved and never made it public, you come. Help the new convert. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you ought to come. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, want to join our church, we'll invite you to come. There's people in the balcony and people on the lower floor. You ought to leave your seat. For this simple sermon, come down here and get on your face and say, "That's it. I've just got to start helping people. I need to stop being helped all the time and start helping someone." I ask the instrumentalist to begin to play.